Begin the current daf, Masechta Shabbos, daf Tzadi. We begin three lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah on that previous daf. Again, the themes of our this parak and the parak before, we're discussing the minimum amount necessary to be considered something chashiv, that it will be considered haitzah from one rishos to another rishos. So one of the items that Mishnah discussed was klipi ha-gezim, regarding nut husks. Those are the shells, the one of the peels of a nut, the klipi ha-mayinim, and the pomegranate peels. Sata, supua, safflower, madder. These are all different types of dyes. So the Mishnah said the minimum amount for them to be considered chashav, that you're transporting something from one rishos to another rishos, is kedei litzvoya beged katan, that the sheer haitzah would be enough to dye a small little garment that was put on the top of a hat that women used to wear. That is the smallest amount that a person will be considered significant as a dye, and therefore that will be the minimum for the sheer haitzah. Now the Gemara asks, v'rimini, I'll ask a contradiction. Hamaitzi samonim shurim, we learn in the Braisa, whoever takes out herbs that are seeping, that are being steeped, and that is to make them, you take an herb and then you steep it in the liquid and then it becomes a dye. So then, the shear for it to be considered, haitzah, is kedei litzvoya ben dugma le'ir, the amount that you would dye, a sample that would be used for a weaver's bobbin, which these are two different measurements, but they're the same thing, and that is, it's a small amount of wool, which is like a swatch that people use that they want to show to people that are potential buyers to say, do you want something like this? Do you want that color? But they use something that they can put it on to show what color they're talking about, what design it is. And that's the same size as the weaver's bobbin. That's a very small thing, that a vial that he has, that he covers it with this amount of garment. That's the same measurement as a sample. So, however, the Gemara's question is, that's a very small shear. That's just something enough just to show what color it is. So you need to have something that you could dye it on, and that you show it. Do you want this color, that design? However, this shear that our Mishnah is talking about is a much larger size. That's to dye a small garment, but it's definitely bigger than just a swatch that you show to potential buyers. So what is the shear? And that the Gemara says that the shear from dyes will depend on what stage of the process it is. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Bar Avua, person's not going to go through the difficulty, the challenge of going ahead and dyeing something so that he could have it just as a swatch as to use for a weaver's bobbin. In other words, if something's already, and we had this difference many times in the Gemara, we're going to have it on this daf also, that if something's already dyed, in other words, it's dyed already, it was already seeped, then it's something that you already have, then you would even use it for a swatch because that's something you would use. But if you're going to go ahead and take a herb and go through the process of turning it into a dye, that you're not going to go through all that effort if it's not going to be for something much larger than that. In other words, our Mishnah was talking about that it wasn't seeped yet. And if you're going to come to seep it, you're not going to seep it. You're not going to go ahead and let it soak if it's less than the amount of a small garment that you could put on top of the lady's hat. Again, if you have it already as a dye, that was the case of the Braisa. Then you'll use it even for something as insignificant as a little swatch to show for potential buyers. And that's the difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa, talking about what stage of the development of the dye. Our Mishnah was talking about that it was still a herb, and the Braisa was talking about that it was already a dye. Then if it's already a dye, you'll use it even for something as small as a swatch, as the size of a weaver's bobbin. So now Mishnah said another item that the minimum amount of haitzah for it to be is miraglime, is urine, and it goes through a whole different bunch of items that are cleansing agents. So he said a machlokes in the Mishnah, however, it was talking about that it's enough to cleanse. That was the main idea. So the Gemara says that it's not every urine that could cleanse. Tana, we learn the Braisa, miraglime ad ben mem yoim. The minimum amount, it has to be urine that has fermented at least 40 days. Then it's something that's already acidic, and then it could cleanse either a stain or whatever the different sheetahs in the Mishnah were, but it has to be at least 40 days old. That's what our Gemara is coming to tell us. The next item was Nesser. It's also a cleansing type of agent. So the Gemara again qualifies, Tanu le'n Nebraisa, Nesser lachsandris for Nesser ampatirin. It has to be the Nesser from Alexandria, but not Nesser ampatirin, which is a certain locale, a place. Again, it depends from which location it was made, that it would be considered cleansing agent, that again would be considered significant in that amount. Bairis, the next item the Mishnah spoke about, again, that was a cleansing agent, was Bairis. So what is Bairis? Amr Bihud is Echel, it's sand. The Gemara asks, how could you say Bairis is sand? V'tan b'lun n'braisa, ha-Bairis v'Echel. When it was talking about the different cleansing agents that you'll be chai for it's on, and that what the minimum amount was, either to cleanse this small little beggared cotton that goes on the woman's hat, or to take out a stain, it said both Bairis and Chel. So how could Bairis be Chel? So therefore the Gemara revises and says, my Bairis, kavri yosef. It means sulfur. And sulfur is a cleansing agent. On that, the Gemara has Meisvei. How can we say that Bairis is sulfur? We learn in the Braisa, Hisivu Alein, that they added on all these different items that we said that are fit for the halachas of Shvius, of Shemitah, because there are things that grow from the ground, and therefore we give them a halacha of Shemitah, and that all the different halachas of Shemitah apply to them, we said the following items: halchavitzin, which are sow thistles, valinun, and wormwood, vahaboyris, which is the item we're talking about, va'oil, and aloe. And there the Gemara develops the question. If you think boyris is sulfur, does sulfur apply for the halachas of Shemitah? Bahatan, we learn the brisa. Again, this brisa is including boyris as one of the items chayav for Shemitah, but Bahatan, we learn the brisa. Zahakla, this is the general rule if you want to know if something has an application of Shemitah or not. Kol sheyesh le'ikar, yesh le'shvi'is. Whatever has a root has the halacha of Shemitah. B'she'in le'ikar, in le'shvi'is. Whatever does not have a root does not apply to halachas of Shemitah. And sulfur does not have a root. So how can you say that boyris is sulfur? But we have a brisa that says that boiris will have the application of the halachas of Shemitah. But sulfur doesn't have a root, and therefore it cannot have the halachas of Shemitah. So then the Gemara revises again and says, Elamai boiris, aloe, it's aloe. But the Gemara asks, what time we just learned in that brisa, when they consider all those items that are chayav for Shemitah, v'hab boiris v'aloe. Obviously, they're two distinct items. So the Gemara answers, trigavne aloe, there are two types of aloe. So although it says aloe as its own, but then it says boiris, which is a different type of aloe. So if it's not so difficult to say. When our Mishnah says boiris, it's a reference to aloe. But again, there are two types of aloe. Then our Mishnah said kimulia. And another one of the cleansing agents that we discussed were kimulia. So what is this? Amar Rabbi Yehuda shloif dutz. So Rashi says, it's not clear. This is its name, but it's not known exactly what type of cleansing agent it is. Then our Mishnah said ashlak. So what's that? Amar Shmuel shaltinu l'chol nechus yam. I asked all the seafarers, all those that are on the ships, to know, maybe they know all these different herbs. But Amar li, soino shemei. They told me that his name is soino. And what is that? Umeshtakech benukfa de magnisa. You can find it in the little holes in pearls. Umafki li beramtsa de parza. And you have to take it out with an iron instrument. And that's exactly where it can be found in this. When you take it out of the pearls, that's a cleansing agent that could clean different things. And that was the last item of ashleg. And all these different cleansing agents were machlegs in the Mishnah. If it's going to be the size that it can cleanse the small little garment that's put on the top of the woman's hat, or something even smaller than that, if it's enough just to clean the stain, that was a machlegs we had in our Mishnah. And now we just discuss exactly what these items are. Now we continue on to the next Mishnah, which has a machlokes, again, regarding, like we said, what is considered chashuv to be considered that it's a hitzah. And that's the theme of our Olam Mishnayos of our Perek. Again, what is the minimum measurement for it to be considered chashuv? So the Mishnah begins. Palpel is regarding pepper. Kol shu, the shear is a minute amount, as small as it is. And Rashi tells us that it's not our pepper that we have. And the Gemara explains what exactly is it fit for, that we're saying that even a kol shu, even a minute amount, whatever, however small it is going to be fit, that we consider it significant that for Shabbos you'll be chayav on that tzah, even though that's a small amount. The itra and tar, kol shu, also a small amount. Mina besamim or mina matzkes, regarding different types of spices and different types of metals. Kol shen, also even a minute amount. And that's because spices is for a good smell, even a small amount is fit to enjoy. And metals, even a small amount, the Gemara is going to explain to us, it's fit for a small little ox goat, which is the tip of the point that they use for the oxen. That's also, even a small amount of metal is enough to make that tip. Then the Mishnah continues, Ma'avne ha-mizbeach u'ma'ofer ha-mizbeach, from the stones of the altar that's in the Beis HaMikdash, and from the earth of the mizbeach. And also similarly, mekik svarim u'mekik matpachiseim, the decay of scrolls and the decay of their wraps. And that is when a worm eats away at the books, at the scrolls, and it decays it. That's called mekik. So then that mekik is kol shu. Even a small amount, a minute amount from the stones of the mizbeach, or the earth, or the different decay of the scrolls, it's also even a minute amount. And the Gemara is going to explain all these different items, why in such a minute amount is it considered chashuv already. So our Mishnah explains, and the reason is shemetznin oisin l'goinzen. The reason for these four items that we just mentioned is because they're necessary. People conceal these things. They don't throw it away. They consider it chashuv, no matter how small it is, because they needed to then go ahead and bury it. Because every holy thing has to be hidden away, because when it's not allowed to be desecrated, so even as small as it is, it's considered chashuv. Rabbi Huda Omer, af ha-mitzi misham shei v'dezar, that even who is someone that takes out and transports accessories of an idol, is also kosher, even the most minute amount. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, v'liyidvuk b'yotcha me'umim menachem, that it should not cleave to you even a small amount of something that's banned, which is a reference to Avodah. So we see that the Torah, the pasuk, considered an Isra Avodah, even a small amount. And Rashi tells us, although we learned in the Mishnah on Ayin Hayman Beis, that whatever is not fit to be stored in that small amount, but someone does. And the Gemara over there says it's a reference to Atzei Asherah, to the wood of an Asherah, idol worship tree. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that even a small amount, minute amount, is something that is fit for everyone to be stored away. And the reason is because it has to be burnt. It can't be stayed by you. You have to get rid of it. And that's why even the small amount is considered chashuv, because we see the pasuk considered chashuv, even in the most minute amount. So now the Gemara goes back to explain our Mishnah. The first item was pelpelis kosher. Pepper, even the small amount, is considered chashuv, and therefore you'll be chayv anitzah transporting on Shabbos. So Gemara says, l'maychazi, what's it fit for? What are you going to use with a small amount of pepper? And the Gemara says, l'riacha pefer, bad breath. And that is pepper, and rasha is not the pepper that we have, but it was very, very strong, and therefore even the small amount will help for bad breath. Itrin kosher, that tar is also considered chashuv, even the small amount. Frank the Gemara, l'maychazi, what's it fit for? Litzel chasam for a migraine. Obviously, in the Gemara's times, they had used tar in some way to help out with a migraine headache, and therefore that was considered chashuv even in the most minute amount. And then the Gemara continues with the next item in that Mishnah, which says mina b'sam kolshen. The different types of spices are also a small amount, as we explained in the Mishnah, because even the small amount is already fit to enjoy from. So the Gemara brings similarly different types of items like this. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa. Hamoitzi reach ra, someone that transports a bad smell. And these were things that they used to smoke up for the sick or for children, that there was a way that they used to use to get rid of demons for the mazikin. So that's even kosher, even the small amount is already fit, this bad smell, to get rid of the mazikin. And therefore it's chashav, and therefore hatzah is even the small amount. Shemet tov, regarding fragrant oil, that's also kosher, even the small amount is enough to enjoy it, and therefore it's considered chashav in that amount. Vargaman, and purple dye, is also kosher even a small amount, because that's also fit to use as a fragrance, as a smell, and therefore even a small amount, like a scratch off, like, you know, you smell it, even a small amount is enjoyable. Ubisulas haverin, and a young rose, achas, even one petal is something that's considered chashav, and again, haitzah will be even on that amount. So the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah that says, mini matches, that different types of metals are kosher, even a small amount will be considered haitzah. So the Gemara asks, l'maychaz, what is a small amount of metal fit for that we consider it's chashav in that amount? So Tanya, Reb Shimon Laza Omer, shekein ro'u lasis memeno davron katan, because it's fit to make out of that small amount of metal the tip of a small ox goad. That is a small little stick that they would use to push around the ox. And that is, as long as the tip is a small amount of metal, it's enough to use to poke him. So therefore, even a small amount of metal is already considered chashav for that effect. Similarly, the Gemara brings from a Braisa Tanabon, Ha'imer Hariel Basil. Someone that says it's a palm meat to bring iron, that is to the Bedig Abayis, this was the, so to speak, like the bank account of the Beis HaMikdash. Say, I'm going to give it to the Beis HaMikdash, let them use it, whatever they need it for, and he's going to give it iron. So there are others, that's the opinion of the others, that they say that you shouldn't give them less than an amma square of iron, because that's the smallest amount that's considered significant to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore when you say I'm going to give iron, you mean that amount, similar to the concept we're saying regarding the halachos of Shabbos, that when you say, when you're talking about a concept, an object, it's in the smallest amount that's considered significant. So the Gemara says, l'maychaz, what is an amma squared of iron fit for to use in the Beis HaMikdash? So I'm going to use it, what's called the crowd chasers. That is, they used to make squares of an amma squared, and they were very pointy, that little stick sticking out of the top of them. And they would put it on their roofs. They would panel the whole roof with these things, that the ravens shouldn't sit on top of the roof of the Beis HaMikdash and make it all disgusting. So therefore, they would make these, what's called crowd chasers, they would make these squares with metal sticks sticking out of. That is what's fit for an amma squared of iron. Vikadamer, some say the same halach in reverse. That you shouldn't give less than the crowd chasers. And on that vikama, how much is that? Crowd chases, how much of iron is that? I'm obvious of amalama that it's an amma squared. Now the Braisa continues, the chayish is regarding copper. If you're seeking to give that to the Beis HaMikdash, lo yifchis mi ma'a kesef, you shouldn't give less than the ma'a of silver. That is, you give the copper in the worth of a ma'a of silver. However, the Gemara brings a tanya that argues on this tanya, but lezo aimer, lo yifchis mi tenura ketana shon chayish, you shouldn't give less than the small fork of copper. And that, l'may chaza, what does that fit for? What are you going to do with a small fork of copper? So Amabaya, Shemechatin Boas Abitsilois Umekanchan Haner, that it trims the wicks that are there on the menorah, and they clean the lamps. That's what a small copper fork is fit for, and therefore when you're seeking to give copper to the Beis HaMikdash, you mean in the amount of a small fork, because it's fit for that avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. And the next case of the Mishnah said was Mekig Svarm and Mekig Matpachas, that the decay of the scrolls and the decay of the wraps are also even in the culture, even in the smallest amount. And that is, as the Mishnah said, because since you have to do geniz on it, you have to put it away that it's not desecrated. So even the most minute amount is considered chashuv. So Amar Bihud, the mikok de sifri, the worm of the scrolls, tchoch de shirai, the worm of the silk, the ilo de inve, the worm of the grapes, upe de teini, and the worms of the figs, the hod de rimoni, and the worm of the pomegranates, And that is, all these are worms, and they're from all different types of things, and they just have different names. Tachach, Ayla, Pa, Ha, but they're all worms, just of different items, they have different names. Kula sakanda, they're all dangerous for whoever consumes them. The Gemara brings a story to illustrate this. Hahu tamid d'Abba Yosef kamed Rabbi Yochanan, was a student that was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Have a ochel t'eni, he was eating figs. Amalei Rabbi kutzin yesh patim, he says, my master, my teacher, there are thorns in the figs. And in truth, it was a worm that was sitting there and it was making a hole in his throat. But it just felt like thorns. So amalei katli perla d'en. So Rabbi Yochanan says, say to speak like this is a dead one. That this one has been killed by these worms. That all these things that are in these fruits and these different items, that the worms are prevalent, they're dangerous for whoever consumes them because it just makes a hole in the person's body. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, with the different items of what the shir haitzah for them, what's the minimum amount. Hamaitzi kupas aroichim, someone that transports the peddler's box. And that is those who they would sell these type of fragrances and jewelry for the women. And there would be peddlers that would come with these small little boxes that would have, each little box had a bundle of besamim in them. So the halacha is that afa pishish b'min harmer, even though there's many different types of besamim, of fragrances, and that it's little bundles, many different bundles in his box, in the chayv al chatzis achas, only liable for one chatzis, because that's considered one hoitzah, one transport, although in this box has many different things. However, in that one box, that is considering it as one hoitzah. Zarei gina, regarding garden seeds. So poches megregis, the shir haitzah is a little bit less than the dried fig. That although we know the shir regarding all different food items, when you transport on Shabbos, it's the shir of a gregis, like a dried fig. However, these, since it's used for planting, so it's considered chashim and yuchayiv, even for a little bit less than the gregis, than the dried fig. However, he argues and says chamisha has to be five seeds, not the shir of a little bit less than the gregis, but it's a shir of five seeds. We continue on to Amud Beis. Zer kishurin, however, regarding cucumber seeds, which is something more chashiv than regular seeds, then shnayim, then it doesn't have to be five seeds, it's enough even with two seeds, then you'll be liable for that. Similarly, zer diluin, for garud seeds, shnayim is two. Zer pulamitzri, and also for the Egyptian bean seed, is also shnayim, is also two, because these things are more chashiv, so therefore they don't need five seeds to be chayv haitzah, even for two seeds. Then the Mishnah continues with the next item, chagiv chay tahar, regarding a live kosher locust. That's a type of a grasshopper. Kolshu, the shear is even a minute amount, because they go ahead and they keep these little locusts for children to play with, as the Rabbi Huda explains at the end of the Mishnah. However, mace, if the locust has died, then kagregis, then it has to be a larger shear of the size of a dried fig. And that is because now it's like all other food items. Since it's a kosher locust, you could eat it and it doesn't need shchita, it could even die. However, now it's not fit to play with anymore because it's dead. So now the shear is like a dried fig, like all other food items. Tzipois karam, regarding the bird of the orchards. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what that is. Bein chaya, bein mesa, whether it's alive or dead, kosher, even the most minute amount, is considered chashub. And the reason is, shematznines l'refu, because they keep these birds for the healing properties that's in it. And later the Gemara is going to explain exactly what it is and what the healing properties of it is. Rabbi Huda Omer, back to what we said before, afa moitzi chog of chai tomei, that even if someone transports a locust that's alive, but it's non-kosher, still the shir would be kosher, that you'll be liable for the most minute amount. And the reason is, shematzdin ois lekon l'sachik boy, because you store away these grasshoppers, even the non-kosher ones, for the children to play with. So it doesn't make a difference if it's kosher, like we said the case before, or even non-kosher, because it says both cases, even the smallest grasshopper, you'll be liable for, because again, the kids will play with it. However, the Tanakama holds that you're right, by regarding the kosher grasshopper, that's why you're chayiv even on the kosher. However, he argues on the non-kosher grasshopper, because the reason is because if you're going to keep it for the child to play, maybe he might consume that grasshopper, he might eat it, and that you'll be chayiv because there's an issue of having a child eat something that's non-kosher. Therefore, the people are not going to keep the non-kosher grasshoppers for the kids to play with. And that's why on that point he argues on Rabbi Huda, and the Gemara will explain exactly what is the yisoid of the machlekes. So the Gemara begins. We're asking a contradiction regarding, we said that the case of our Mishnah of Zarone Gina, regarding the seeds of the garden seeds, that we said the shear is either a gregris, is a little bit less than the dried fig, or five seeds. However, we learned Zevel v'chol hadak, regarding fertilizer and fine sand. The shear for them are, is kedei lezavel kelach shel kruv, divrei Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva says is amount to fertilize a stalk of cabbage. The chomer kedei lezavel creation. The chomer say the amount to fertilize a leek. And that is, we see from there that the seed is considered even when it's one, because this this stalk came from one seed, and we see that one seed is considered chashuv. Why is our Mishnah saying you need five seeds, or let's say even larger, the amount for a little bit less than a dried fig? However, here we see that it's even one seed that's considered chashuv, and that's why for the fertilizer and for the fine sand, you'll be chayiv for transporting it to use it for one klach, for one stalk, and we see that one stalk is considered chashuv for. Another Gemara says, a teretz that we've said many times, Amar Papa, the difference is that one is planted already, one is not planted. That once it's planted, it's considered chashuv, each individual seed that's now a stalk. And therefore, a person will go through the effort to fertilize that, and therefore you chayiv for sand in that amount of fertilizing that one stalk. But if it wasn't planted yet, a person is not going to go through the effort, the tircha, to go ahead and plant one meager seed. As the Gemara says, Lefisha, inum terech lohitzi nimach lazir. The person is not going to go through the effort of transporting one seed to go plant. I'll plant five. I'll plant the amount of a little bit less than the gregers of that many seeds. But for one seed, I'm not going to. Once it's planted, that's a different story. Then it's a stalk rate, and it's chashim. And then you'll be chayif of transporting fertilizer in the amount to fertilize that one seed, which is now not a seed, it's a stalk. So the Mishnah says, Zerikishun regarding cucumber seeds. So Tanabon learned the Braisa. Some of the transport seeds, and the seeds that we're talking about, Rashi, are date pits, those type of seeds. So it depends for what purpose you want them for, to know what would be the shear of Eitzah. As we said, whatever we consider something chashiv, that is what we would consider it for Eitzah. So it depends what you're taking it for it to be considered chashiv now. As the Gemara brings from the Brice, Imlin the Tiyah Shtayin. If you're taking it for planting, then even two would be considered chashiv. Similar to like why we said by Zerik Kishru and my cucumber seeds, that with two seeds already considered chashiv, so too here by the date pits. But if you're taking it out to consume it, then it's the amount to fill the mouth of a swine. The how much is the amount of this pit that fits that fills up the mouth of a swine? That's one. One pit will already fill it up. If you're taking it for consumption, that's enough to be considered haitza. However, imla hesek, if you're taking it out for fuel, that you want to burn it under a fire to use it as fuel, then that has to be the amount that you could cook an easily cooked egg, which is a gregris, a shear of the dried fig from an egg that would be easily cooked. That's from a hen. That's the amount that you would have to take out that could cook that, the egg of a chicken in the size of a gregers of a dried fig. Im l'cheshben, however, if it's being used for counting, like sometimes people say, okay, let's use date pits. We're going to count how many dollars I owe you. Then shtayim, it's enough for two. Others say that has to be chomesh. It has to be, if it's for counting purposes, it has to be at least five of them. Because less than five, Rashi says, four is an amount that people remember. People don't forget, and therefore you don't have to give a simon to say, okay, how many was it? It was four, because people remember that. But five, people forget, and that's why you have to give a simon. And that's why by phone numbers, 435-4207, the 4207 are four numbers. That is more than that people will forget. That's why you have to give it in two groups, because again, four numbers you'll remember, but five you'll forget, and that's why it has to be for five. Tarban, Linda the Bryce. Another halacha regarding the halachas of the shear, the minimum amount for itza. Hamoitzi shnei nimin miznav hasus umiznav haparachai. Someone that takes out, he transports two hairs from the tail of a horse and from the tail of a cow, he's liable. What's the reason? Shematznein noisn lenishbin, because they store that amount for the traps. That is, they use it for the traps of trapping the birds. Even two hairs are usable for that purpose, and therefore even two hairs will be considered a shear of itza. Regarding miksha shel chazer, regarding the bristles of a swine, that is, there are harsh hairs sticking out of the spine of a chazer, then it's achas, even one will be liable for itzah. And the reason is because it's fit for a cobbler to use for the tip of the thread of what he's sewing with. You use this bristle to use almost like a needle. That's why even one of them is fit, and that's why you'll be chayv an itzah even on one. Tzuri dekel, regarding palm fronds, and these are things that they use to make baskets out of it, shtayim, you're liable even for two, and that is because to make what's called batinir, and these are heddles, and these are different things used in the process of weaving, so even two of them you'll be liable for. To read Dekel regarding palm vines, achas, you'll be liable even for one. Rashi says he doesn't know what it's fit for to be used for, that you'll be liable even for one. But that's what the Braisa tells us, that palm vines, you'll be liable even for one. Another thing I resume is discussing our Mishnah. We said, Tziporis kiramim bein chaya bein mesa kosher. Regarding the birds of the orchards, we said that whether it's alive or dead, you'll be liable even for a kosher for the smallest amount. So the Gemara asks, might Tziporis kiramim, what is it that we're saying that it's useful, even a small amount? So Amarav, palyu bi'ari. That's what it's called. It's found on the palms that have one vine. And it's used for attaining knowledge. And that is, it opens up a person's heart to understand things that before that he has not been able to understand. And the process is, he eats the half of the right side. And you put the left half into a tube of copper. And you seal it with 60 seals. Rashi says it's not necessarily 60. Rather, as the term that's always used in Shas, 60 is always a number that means a lot. Rather, you cover with a lot of different covers, left it with tar and wax, and on top of that, and you use earth. And then you tie it onto your left arm. And the simanecha, and a mnemonic to remember why you would tie it onto your left arm, as it says in the Pasuk Kehelis, Lev Chochem Leminah. The heart of the wise man is to his right side. Lev Ksil Lesmoil, and the heart of the fool is to his left side. And therefore, we're saying like this person, that he has to make his foolish part smarter, so he's hanging it on his left side to, so to speak, smarten up his dumb part. Then, V'chochem Kamadabai, he gets as smart as he wants to, because it's a process of his heart is open now. The gummer come in the boy, and then he learns as much as he wants to. Then he eats the other half, after he learned as much as he wanted to, after he got smart. And the reason is the Eli, because if he doesn't eat up the other half, he forgets his learning. In other words, whatever he learned through this process of this bird, of this tipra, of the krumim, if he doesn't eat it up, he forgets his learning. Therefore, that's the process of how it's done. And that's why even the smallest amount is considered useful. The Mishnah concluded, that even someone that transports a locust that's alive, but it's non-kosher, even then you'll be liable even for a kosher. So the Gemara says, what's pshat in the Tanakhama? It's l'chayra, you can use it for kids to play with. Why would it only be by kosher and not by non-kosher? So the Gemara says, Tanakhama sabar loy. Tanakhama holds note that for the non-kosher type, we're not going to store it and keep it to put it away for our little children to play with. My time, what's the reason? Tamachile, it might come to consume it. And Rashi explains that even though we know there's halacha, that what's called kot noichel nevelis, that a child is allowed to eat something that's non-kosher, and bezdin, others don't have to stop him to separate him from doing what's wrong. However, everyone agrees that you're not allowed to give it to the child to do the issa. As it says in the Brice in Yevamos on Kof Yudal, it says in the Pasuk, lois achilum, lois achilum, to warn the elders on the youngers, that although you don't have to stop him, you're not allowed to give it to him. So here you're not going to give the child the grasshopper, the locust, because that's going to be considered as if you're feeding it to him, which that is aser. And therefore, you're not allowed to give him the non-kosher grasshopper because he might come to consume it. So then the question is, ihachitar nami, then even the kosher grasshopper should be a problem if you say he might come to eat it. And you're saying you agree by the kosher, because it's kosher. But a kosher one might be a problem. And the reason is because although if you're eating a live one, there's no problem of aver menachai, of a limb of a living animal, because locusts don't need shechita to be slaughtered. But there is a problem of what's called bal teshaktzu, that you're not letting him do something that's disgusting, that's vile, as it says in Masechtas Makis. As the Gemara brings, the Rav Kahana have a koim kamid rab. Rav Kahana was in front of Rav, vava kama'abe sosiva apume. And they were putting this kosher grass, a certain type of kosher grasshopper by his mouth. Amalei Shakli says, no, take it away. And the reason is, they shouldn't say that we're feeding him the live grasshopper. And they're going to say that you're being over on this prohibition of don't make your souls disgusting and vulgar by doing things which are disgusting. So obviously, he held that eating a live grasshopper is something that you're even about to shock to, doing something that's vulgar and disgusting. So therefore, if we're concerned that he might come to consume the grasshopper, and that's why you say he can't have non-kosher grasshopper, then even a kosher grasshopper shouldn't be able to have, because he might consume it when it's alive. So the Gemara says, Ella, rather, it's not because we're concerned that he might come to eat, the kid's going to eat the live grasshopper. Rather, maybe it's going to die for us, and then he's going to eat it. And therefore, that's a problem by the non-kosher one, which when it's dead, even when it's dead, it's a problem. But the kosher one, when it's dead, it's not a problem because now it's not disgusting, it's dead already. And there's no problem because you don't need to have shechita. So therefore, by the kosher one, you could give it to the kid to play, but not by the non-kosher one. As the Gemara says, Dilma mayis v'achli, we're concerned that maybe it's going to die, and then it's going to eat it, but kids are not going to eat live grasshoppers. On that, Rabbi Yehuda holds that imayis, if you're saying you agree that no kid's eating a live grasshopper, it's only if it dies, then it might get hungry and eat it. Cotton mispit suffer. Cotton's not going to eat the dead grasshopper. He's going to eulogize the grasshopper. My pet, my grasshopper died. And since it's not the derech for the child to eat it, therefore I'm not concerned, not by the kosher, not by the non-kosher, because you agree to me that when it's alive, he's not going to eat it. And when it's dead, he's also not going to eat it. And that's why I hold there's no difference between the kosher and non-kosher, because he's going to eulogize it. He's not going to eat it. Hadin lacham Rebbe Kiva, may we return to you. Perek Amr Rebbe Kiva, the ninth perek in Masechta Shabbos. Now we begin the tenth perek in Masechta Shabbos, perek HaMetznia. the two parakim before this, we're talking about the minimum amount for something to have, for it to be considered chashuv, that's significant, for a person to be liable for transporting from one rishus to another. The rest is insignificant, and it's not a haitzah. You didn't transport anything. Our Mishnah is going to begin talking about the things even less than the measurements that we had mentioned up until now, a way that you could be liable even less than that. As our Mishnah begins. Hamatznia lezer, someone that stores something for planting. Ula dugma, or for as a sample. V'lirafu, or for medicine. Vayitzi b'Shabbos, and then he transports it on Shabbos. Chayiv b'chol shuv, then he's liable even for a small amount because he considers it significant that it's important because he wants it, although it's something very small, normally it's not used, but he's going to plant with it. Or he's going to use it as a sample, which all I need is a small little bit to show, although the whole vessel broke, a small little piece, but I want to show some of the design. Or for medicine. B'chol odom ein chayiv la be'el kashur, but everybody else would only be liable the measurements that we each measurement according to how it is. As we mentioned, we said regarding seeds, it has to be 5 seeds. We said the seeds of cucumbers or diluin or the Egyptian bean, there it's going to be 2 seeds. Another thing, for example, like wine or types of foods that we said, each one, each measurement in perek ha'gadol and perek ha'mitzi, everyone would go according to the shear of how it's normally used. But the one that for him it's considered important, therefore he says, I want it, I'm going to put it in my pack, I'm going to keep it. For him, he'll be chayav etzah, even in that small amount, because he deems it significant. However, chazav echnisa, what happens if he goes back and then he brings it back in? That is, this person that was matzniyat, he stored it less than the shear, and he took it out. But then he changed his mind that he's not going to plant with it anymore. And then he brings it back in. That is, now he's like everybody else. So then he's not liable for this hachnasa, bring back in for that small amount, only if it's the measurement as the full measurement like everyone else. And the reason is, since he changed his mind now, that he's not going to plant it, so his original machshava is batal, it's annulled, it's not there anymore. And now he's like everybody else. And since for everybody else, let's say seeds is only worth 5 seeds, no one's going to plant less than that. So although he originally wanted to plant one, he says, you know, I'm going to make myself crazy, I'm going to go planting. So he goes, he starts heading back into his Rishus HaYachid. When he comes back in, now it wasn't significant anymore, it's like everybody else. Therefore he's not going to be chayiv on the achnasa, only if it has the 5 seeds like everybody else. So now Gemara asks on the case formation of the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah wanted to tell us something, that although generally the shear is this amount, someone that you could be liable even for less than that. And we said, what's the case? If someone wants it for healing or for a sample, so how did the Mishnah formulate that case? Saying that you had stored it for that purpose, and now when you bring it out, then you'll be liable even for less than the normal shear because you made it chashuv. So the Gemara asks, Lomelei l'misna mitzi, why do we have to say this case that you went through all the effort, you stored it, even in the small amount, 1 seed for that purpose, so then you'll be liable next time when you go take it out? You could have said a simpler case that's even a bigger chiddush. Listen, hamitzi lezera uledugma ulerefua, chayv b'choshu. Just say that someone that transports, he never went ahead beforehand and stored it for this purpose. But just on Shabbos, he decides, you know what, let me plant this 1 seed. I'm in the mood, you know, forget about Shabbos. And he goes out and he transports it and he takes it out to plant, or for he wants to show someone, he has to show a sample of like millions of dollars. He says, let me take it out to show it to people. Then you're liable even for a small amount. And the reason is because this that we need to have a shear. We said the reason. It's because a person would not normally go through the tirch of the effort to go ahead and plant 1 seed. So therefore, someone that just takes out, in general, just takes out 1 seed is putter until you have the shear of, let's say, 5 seeds. But this person, that he's taking out the 1 seed ahead with that intention to plant it, so he's revealing that in his thought process, that he's going to go through the tirch of the effort and to go and to go plant it, and he makes it significant. So why do I have to say this whole case of that you had stored it before and you made it chashuv, and then at a later point in time when you go ahead and you transport it, you'll be going to be chayiv? Say very simple. I never stored it for anything. It's Shabbos today. You know what? I'm going to go ahead. I want to take this. I'm going to plant this. And that, you're liable already for haitzah because you are machshav it right now when you're being mitzvah. Why do I have to say the case of that it was stored for a certain time? And that the Gemara says, Abaye says that you're right. For sure, if someone takes out on Shabbos, where never stored before, to go plant, one is going to be liable, even if it wasn't stored. And our Mishnah that says that you need to have the case of that it was stored beforehand for that purpose is talking about a case when the person transported without thinking. For example, he just wants to take it from one house to another house, not to plant, that then he's not going to be liable, generally, until you have 5. And the only reason why now he's going to be liable is because originally when he stored it, he had in mind, I consider this one significant. I would plant one. I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to throw it into the garbage, although there's less than 5. So therefore, that's why we're saying the chiddush of that, even if you're taking it out without any thought process, that's the chiddush of that as long as you had stored it, that you're going to be chayav. So the question is, but even that idea we had already mentioned in Perek Chagod on Ayin Hamid Beis, that says that whatever is not fit for storing, you're not chayav until you store it for that amount. We say that a person, our diuk was, our inference was that if someone else does store it, even less than the normal share, that he would be liable. So therefore the question is, so why would our Mishnah have to say again this concept of being matzniya? I understand what you're trying to say, Abaya, that it's different than the case of our Mishnah, because we wanted to say that the Gemara's question was, what do you mean, just go ahead and say I'm taking it out for planting. We say no. Even if the person is not intending for anything, he's not even thinking, he's just transferring one house to another with planting, you can be chayv because originally you had stored it for that amount of time. On that, what Abai is trying to bavar, what his forewarning is, but even that concept we had learned in the previous parak that said that as long as you stored it for that amount, you're liable, even though normally it's not stored for that amount. So what, again, would be the chiddush of our Mishnah. And that's the reason what Abai is about to say, that he was talking about, the reason why I have to say it is that he had stored it for, let's say, planting or for a sample, but then he forgot why he had put it away. What am I doing with one seed? So he says, let me take it to this other house. On that, as the Gemara says, he had stored it, but now he forgot why he stored it. Now he takes it out just plain, just in general, to take it from one house to another. And therefore, we continue on to Tzadik Aleph Amar Aleph on the top. What would I have thought? That's why I would have to say the case of this Mishnah, although we already said this concept, when you store it even less than that in the previous parak, I would have thought that when you forget, when you're taking it out, that you don't remember why you originally stored it, but tuli batl makshavta, that his original thought process is batl, it's annulled, and therefore there's no chashivas anymore of the makshava, the thought that you had when you went ahead and you stored it, and therefore that makshava will not help to be mechayv you for the tzar now. That's why we have to tell you a chiddush of our Mishnah, that kala oisa, that's who's showing who oisa, that whoever does something plain, it's always done with the original intention that was planted into this original thing. And therefore it has the original chashivas why you had put it away. So again, we have like three different types of cases. We have the case of our Mishnah. We have the case of the Gemara. The Gemara asked, what do you mean? Just say a very simple case. Say that you're going ahead and you're taking it out right now in Shabbos, whatever storing it, and say, I'm taking it out to plant. On that, the Gemara, Abai answers, correct. That is a case of Bichayim. But we wanted to say a different type of chiddush. I want to say that you didn't even take it out with any thought. You just took it out stam. Still, you're going to be liable because you had originally stored it away for that purpose, even less than the normal amount. And that, Abai still has to forewarn, but we had that same halacha also in the previous parak, which said that, again, if normally it's stored for a certain amount, but you went ahead and you stored it, even though it's not fit to store, you made it chashav, then you're going to be liable, even if normally it's not usually stored for that, and you'll be chayven itself for that amount. So therefore, what's the case of our Mishnah necessary to say that? And that Abaye says, because that case of that Mishnah would be told when you store for that amount, and you remember why you stored it, now you're taking it out just plain, not to planting. However, with that original Machshava, you made a Chasha. But now we're talking about Mishnah that you forgot why you even stored it. And therefore, I would have thought that if you forgot, so then it doesn't have the Chashivis anymore. For you, it has no significance because now you don't even know why to have it. You don't remember it. And therefore, we're saying that no, that you're going to be Chayiv because although now you're doing it plain without any thought process, it still has invested in it the thought that you originally put into it, although now you can't recall why, you made it chashiv, and therefore you're liable even if you take a stam, even if without any thought process, and you forgot why, you're still going to be liable for the shiritza and that amount that you metzniyah.